Coming up, today's guest is the co-founder at ClearBridge Mobile, whose clients include the New York Times, NBC Sports, PayPal, and more. You will discover how they started working with these big brands, keys to a successful product strategy for enterprise apps, and how leveraging data and AI is the future of mobile. Stay tuned.
The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
Pollen VC gives app developers early access to their app store and advertising revenues, enabling them to scale quickly and efficiently without relying on outside funding, and more importantly, giving up their equity. Learn more at pollen.vc. With over 10 million downloads and over 250 million follower reach, TrendPie is the influencer marketing company that I use and trust. Go to trendpie.com to learn more. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of appmasters.co, the place you go when you want action-packed content in the app business that's going to help you and me, selfishly, grow our business. And today, I've got a phenomenal guest for you. His name is Sanjay Malhotra. He's the CTO and co-founder at ClearBridge Mobile. They're a mobile app company. They've got some amazing clients, including Disney, Tim Hortons, PayPal, NBC, Wall Street Journal. You name it, they've worked with some amazing, amazing brands. I'm happy and excited to be talking to Sanjay. Sanjay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve, for having me.
Sanjay, I'm going to revert to Sanjay because that's just in my brain, but Sanjay, I'm going to revert to that. So I apologize for that in advance. So Sanjay, like, talk to me about, you got some phenomenal clients. Talk to me how it all started, because like, I can't imagine you're just working with like New York Times right off as the first client, are you?
Yeah, we started on day one and they called and we started working with the New York Times. No.
That's amazing.
Disney was next. That was day three. You know, you know, the genesis of the business goes back to 6+ years. The goal of the business was to create great mobile apps. It was still very early in the sort of app store history. And so our original focus was enterprise software companies that were building vertical software for, let's say, healthcare or in other areas. And we approached them to become their mobile experts. We had, from an IT or implementation standpoint, had lots of experience in building great desktop website experiences in our previous history. Prior to founding ClearBridge Mobile, I was like a SharePoint expert. I'd, traveled the world on the back of Microsoft SharePoint, creating enterprise solutions for these very large clients. And they were starting to ask about mobile and how they could use mobile to, enhance their workforce, or they were still too early to be thinking about how to engage with customers, but it was that early genesis. And so we started off by building iOS and Android apps for vertical software companies in healthcare and other industries, security, for example. And, it's now been 3 years, but our big turning point in the business was starting to work with building BlackBerry 10 applications for some customers. And it was at that time that we had the opportunity to be introduced into the large brands that that you see today on our website. And so we built initially many of the BlackBerry applications for these customers. Wow. And as everyone sort of saw the writing on the wall in terms of where BlackBerry was headed, we pivoted we sort of went back to our roots, which was building iOS and Android apps. When BlackBerry came to the market, they asked us to become a partner, and we said, we'll invest in training our staff to become BlackBerry developers. And so when the BlackBerry stuff sort of went away, we reverted back to what we knew best, which was iOS and Android, but we had been introduced into these opportunities through the course of our work with BlackBerry. So, for example, Disney, we had done the BlackBerry work, and then we did, you know, a little while later, we did the iOS, Android, tablet, smartphone apps for, you know, Disney Junior, Disney XD, Disney Channel, even ABC. And so that's sort of where that legacy comes from. And that was like 3+ years ago, where we had a turning point in the business. Having been introduced into those opportunities, we were able to continue to, you know, we do great work. We deliver exceptional mobile applications for our customers, and we were able to turn that back into the iOS and Android side, and, you know, continue to grow the business from that perspective. And so that's sort of how our business, you know, grew from the two founders, myself and Deepak, to the current size that it is today and continues to grow, is leveraging those partnerships and those experiences from the early days, and being able to grow those into the accounts that they are for us today.
I love that. Was there not as much competition for the BlackBerry stuff? Is that where you guys felt like, hey, there's a hole here, let's fill this, and then we can obviously expand to iOS, Android, and all this other development?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there was less competition in that space. The way it played out was BlackBerry was spending money with the partners that we did work with. So, for example, I'll use, let's say, the New York Times. They would say, we're going to spend, I don't know, $1-3 million in advertising with you, New York Times. As part of that deal, you need to build a BlackBerry 10 app. And so what would happen in that case was, BlackBerry, and then everyone would say, which is normal, we don't know how to build a BlackBerry 10 app. We do iOS and Android. They would say, well, here are three partners. So you can, you know, put this out to the three partners, and they will provide you with pricing and the estimates and all that kind of stuff. And so, in sort of quick succession, because of, one, a little bit of luck, a little bit of timing, and also our expertise in mobile, we were able to win those brands over the course of, I would say, 18 months or so. Mm-hmm. And then we leveraged those back into doing the iOS and Android work that we do today for those same customers.
That's awesome.
That's sort of how it played out.
Now, Sanjay, I know you're more of the CTO role, but let me ask you this, like, working with these big brands, from a sales perspective, like, how do you guys talk to them? Like, what's the best approach when you're talking to these big brands? Because I'm sure they've got tons of people knocking at the door.
Yeah, it's for us, we've been fortunate enough that we got introduced through that early mechanism, and we have a great sales team and marketing team who continue to engage with those customers. The days of knocking on people's door and asking them to buy a vacuum cleaner or an app is sort of gone now, right? Everyone searches on Google, and, you know, they listen to podcasts like this to talk to or find out who's out there and, you know, who people would recommend. So now it is about managing our current customers. We do very little, if any, knocking on doors, cold calling, cold emailing. Mm-hmm. And it's more about managing the relationships that we have. We're fortunate enough to have an amazing team that continues to deliver value to our customers. And we leverage that from our account management side and our marketing side to go out into market to educate the marketplace about who we are. And that's sort of how we are growing our business today.
I know before we hit record, you talked about like helping these bigger clients with some of their monetization channels. And you even said, like, you know, it's sometimes monetization is just not about making more money. It's also like reducing some of the costs. So talk to me about, like, do you have a specific example of how you help one of these bigger brands? What do you guys kind of think through when you're working with a big brand? And like, how do you approach the product strategy there?
Yeah, you know, I'll start by saying what we realize about working with large enterprise customers, is that mobile is probably the first time many of the people that we speak to have actually spoken to each other, even though they work at the same company. So, you know, mobile brings together IT, it brings together marketing, it brings together operations, and usually these departments don't work together, if ever, on anything. And so what we find is we're usually the hub that's putting all these pieces together. So I'll speak specifically about an example with Tim Hortons. We did the first tap and pay application for Tim Hortons. And so Tim Hortons is an iconic Canadian coffee brand. They sell coffees, they do lunches, bagels, donuts, etc. And we were again introduced to them through BlackBerry, and the goal was to create an application that would allow someone to pay with their gift card at the store. So this is pre Apple Pay. This is sort of in the time frame of when Starbucks launched their mobile application. And our goal was to use NFC to do tap and pay. Mm-hmm. And so from a monetization standpoint with Tim's, we were the ones who sort of figured out how we would digitize the card and put it on there. And the things that we needed to consider was we didn't want the lines to slow down. So traffic at the store, you know, the QSRs are managed on, you know, how many seconds or milliseconds you can shave off of a transaction time, so you can pour more coffee and sell more pastries. And it was funny that, you know, the conversation wasn't about the technology that you can now tap and pay like Apple Pay, but it was about, well, when you do that, we're going to have to train our staff, which is going to cost us a lot of money in the 4,000 stores that we have. And how long does it take? Is it longer than someone paying with cash, or is it longer than someone taking out their credit card? And in Canada, we've had tap credit cards for quite some time, so you don't have to sign or anything like that. But that's what the measurement was on that side. And then on the flip side, we've done work with a brand here in Canada called Enercare, and the goal was to find a way to be self-service for their customers so that they don't have to call into the call centers to make appointments, for example, which is about reducing cost. It's about monetizing the mobile application or the way you interact with customers so that you can reduce the internal costs. If you spend, let's say, $500,000 on a mobile application, are you able to save $2 million in operating costs over the course of the next 2 years because you get, let's say, 10% less calls into your call center?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So it's just about like talking about goals with the client too. Because I find that I work a ton of clients who sometimes they don't understand their goals. It's just like, give me more money. Like, that's it. It's like so generic like that.
Yeah, our first thing is to ask, what is going to be success? You know, have you set a benchmark for how many downloads of the app you're going to have? And sometimes customers, they haven't thought about it that far. They've just said, well, we'll build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we are a large iconic brand, so we don't have to market the application. People will just find it. And, you know, sometimes you have to also educate your customers that, yeah, you're a large iconic brand, but when I go to the Google Play Store or the App Store, I'm not searching for you. Mm. Right. I'm searching for what the cool next thing is. And even if I do search for you and you do get me to install your app on my phone, you got to make sure you remind me that you exist.
Right.
Because I have 100 other apps, right? And you got to find ways to engage with your customers so that they are, first of all, aware that you exist and the value that you offer through the mobile application is being best used by your customers as well. So, you know, analytics and stuff like that all play into a successful app launch along with goals and metrics.
What's the proper way to launch an app, especially for these iconic brands who, you know, like you said, they were like, look, we're New York Times, we're Tim Hortons, like people are going to find us. How do you try to plan that launch for them?
So our business is about building a great mobile experience. We provide some consulting or advice on you know, how to successfully launch a mobile application. We have some just from experience, but it is not our main business to market or sell the application in store. But, you know, we want to make sure that marketing is aligned and aware that, you know, this exists. It's simple things like when you go to the website from a mobile device, are you even telling them that there's an app now?
Yeah.
Right. Just those. And it's funny that the larger customers haven't fully gone through the cycle yet of mobile. You know, some of them do or do not have mobile responsive websites. They don't think about a synchronized omni-channel experience between desktop web, tablet web, tablet application, mobile application, Apple TV, right? So it's introducing a whole new paradigm to the marketing team as to how you engage and how you make sure that you're creating a truly unified experience for your customers.
Have you ever felt like you should add marketing from a business perspective? You're like, hey, you know, we obviously build these really great apps. We can obviously help them with the marketing. That'd be a great revenue stream for us.
You know, we want to stay very core to our knitting. We know what we do really well. And while we have great ideas, execution on marketing, the resourcing and the talent that you need to do that is a different ballgame, is a different approach. And we've always thought and always considered that if you confuse your customer by saying, I do everything, then you end up doing nothing for your customer. And so our goal has always been, we build really great mobile applications. We do all of the work here in Toronto. And that's that's one of the factors in our with our team. Everyone sits in the same four walls, but we try and it's always hard to turn down someone saying, "Oh, I'll give you money to do this."
Yeah,
you know, over the course of time, we've learned that those end up being distractions to our core business, and so while the money is great in the short term, they end up being distractions, and sometimes they're actually detrimental to the overall vision and purpose of the business.
Sanjay, I tried to, back in the early days of my entrepreneurial career, let's do marketing and development. I did one development project for somebody and I was like, forget this, I'm out. Bugs, like there's so much management. It's like, okay, I'm gonna stick to my core of the marketing side and let's not get into some of the development side. So I'm glad you shared your story as well. All right. So what I want to get into next is some of that maturity growing pains, how you might have grown the team too dramatically, and talk a little bit more about maybe the struggles of running this business. But before I do, I want to thank my first sponsor. Look, if you've got a great app, you went to ClearBridge Mobile, you're a big brand. You've like, okay, this is great. The app looks great. We're going to retain users. We're going to reduce costs. Now, how do we get the word out? Well, I recommend checking out the guys at trendpy.com. If you're looking for an influencer marketing platform that works specifically for apps, if anywhere in the productivity space, in the health and fitness, in the game space, these guys drive tremendous results, and we use them for some of our clients as well. And they've drive really good results. One of my clients, I saw him trending in the app store. I was like, what'd you guys just do? It's like, oh, we use Trendpy, like based on your recommendation. I was like, oh, great. That's amazing. I'm glad to see that they're doing so well. And then I talked to Victor, the founder. He's like, yeah, thanks for the intro. We're doing really good results for them. So if you got a game, if you got a health and fitness, if you got a productivity app, this is the platform that I recommend you checking out. They can drive on average about 49 cent CPIs. We've gotten down to as little as 29 cent CPIs for just a small amount of do a test campaign for a few $1,000s and you can scale up with them as well. So go to trendpy.com, let them know you heard it on this podcast, and they're going to hook you up with even more impressions. All you gotta do is go to trendpy.com and let them know that you heard it on this very podcast. All right, Sanjay. So let's talk about some of those growing pains. I did this too in the beginning of the year. You know, I thought I wanted to go after big companies. You know, we were working with Red Bull doing some of their ASO, and I was like, oh, this is great. I want to work with bigger companies, obviously grow this thing. And I thought that was, looking back on it, that was the biggest and the best mistake I could make. The biggest because I ran into some cash flow problems, and the best because then I started thinking about like, all right, let's just focus on the things that we do really well and let's cut out everything else. Because with working with bigger clients, I would have to do more things and then, you know, like add PR and all these things that I just didn't want to do anymore. And so now we have like a high margin type of business. And I was like, well, this is the best thing that happened to me. But at the time I was like, this is the worst thing that happened to me as well.
Yeah. So, you know, our challenge, you know, as a services business, similar to what you're speaking of, is balancing, you know, capacity with, the sales pipe. Right. And so we are fortunate today to have, a good pedigree of, history behind us, but also to have a good stable of long-term, customers who turn to us when they need expertise on building, maintaining, and enhancing their mobile experiences. And you know, large brands mature over the course of time. When we first started in this business, you know, mobile was a build it and forget it type of approach. You know, you build the application, you put it in the store, you did your best to get people to use it. And then, you know, maybe once every 6 months, maybe once every year, when Apple introduced some new stuff or Google introduced some new stuff, you go and enhance the application. And then you do the same sort of cycle over and over again. Mm-hmm. And today we have customers that are aware that they need to be constantly working and to enhance the mobile experience. Either on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, so that they can stay relevant and top of mind in the very quick and ever-changing world of mobile today. So, you know, our business grew on the backs of, you know, projects that we would staff the team up. And, you know, our sort of one of our realizations, I would say it's been about 3 years ago, was that sometimes we weren't able to sustain that level of business this business has always been profitable and we run it to generate a profit. And when we started noticing that we're creating work for the employees, we're starting to deviate. You know, we would start to invest in building product, and we realized that we have some good ideas here internally, but if we ever wanted to do that, we shouldn't use the funds that are coming out of the services business to fund that product business. It should be a separate endeavor, and it should have a separate team to deliver those things. And so what we realized is that we needed to just have more focus in terms of what we wanted to do, and we needed to realign our team size and staffing with what we currently had in the pipeline. And that's been that was probably the hardest lesson of level setting and making sure that we remained profitable at all times and that the business was a healthy business and not a business that we were running for the sake of running it.
Do you ever as a founder think about, like, because you have the capability to develop anything you want, like doing a products business, and then how do you like sort of balance between having a profitable services business, but then always wanting to do products of your own too?
You know, the best thing, I have some great ideas. I think the team has some great ideas that we could turn into products. But our focus is to build a really strong services business. And the best analogy I have is, you know, we run this business for profit. And if at the end of the year or end of the month there's some extra money, if we were to take that money and hire more marketing, hire more engineers, would that be money better spent than taking that money and then going and spinning up a whole new company, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we think about it. That early on in our days, we always thought that you know, the grass is greener on the other side, that, you know, product company has reoccurring revenue and has all of these things. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, it is very difficult and it is very different to run a product company than it is to run a services company. And so because we're focused on providing value to our customers, our services business is our foremost priority. And the product stuff, if it ever does happen, it'll be a separate entity with a separate P&L and a separate balance sheet that shows us whether it's making or losing money. And it's really hard making $10 a month off of, you know, $10 a month in recurring revenue is really hard to do.
Right.
You know, if you have 1,000 customers, you know, you make $10,000 a month. It sounds like a lot, but, you know, $10,000 a month doesn't keep a business running, right? You look at SoundCloud, for example. You know, they struggled with the idea of monetizing this business and turning it into something that people would pay for. So it is a challenge and it's very different. I think it's once a business is running, I think deviating from what it currently does, minor variations are a great thing, fine tuning, but a completely different business should be left to as another venture, as a separate business that needs to be managed and maintained in its own sort of box.
Yeah. What are some new technologies, mobile technologies that you're fascinated by or that you think are coming up in the near future?
I think the biggest one is leveraging big data and AI in mobile. I think it's not a huge change from what I used to think before. Mobile experience has to be personalized and customized. And what I see today is that it is getting easier and easier to create those truly personalized experiences with leveraging AI and big data. And, you know, just, you know, what options I should present to a user all the way down to what products I should present based on past experience, based on this user's profile. That's where I see the best experiences and where I see mobile going. I don't think mobile is gonna go away anytime soon. I think mobile and voice control like Google Home and Amazon Echo, all of those will merge into a great user experience that will reduce the amount of pain. And, you know, these are first world pains that I experience that I'm trying to solve, but also, you know, in other areas, in other countries, reducing the amount of, I would say, distraction or loss, things that we take for granted, I think are simple things that I think we'll make mobile and our next sort of set of applications more intuitive and more interactive in our lives. So, you know, smart home things that just do what they're supposed to do as opposed to asking me what they should do.
Got it. Yeah. And I'll give you a marketing tip. Anything that has the words AI powered has done really well for us from like a subject line, tagline perspective, does really well for us.
Okay.
Well, before I hit the big finish, Sanjay, I want to thank my last sponsor, Pollen.vc. Look, guys, you've got a great app. You've done well on influencer marketing with TrendBuy. And now you're like, all right, Apple, pay up. Like, give me the money that I'm owed. Or go to Chartboost or any of these ad networks. Give me the money that I'm owed so that I can reinvest in my growth. And you can't do it because you're going to have to wait a couple of months to get those your hard-earned cash back from these platforms. Well, I recommend checking out Pollen.vc. They have some tremendous case studies. And what they really do is they give you those revenues that you earn faster so that you can reinvest. They take a percentage of it. But when you've got something that is really working and you want to reinvest in your growth, they allow you to do just that. And I've got a couple of friends who are already using them because they heard them at one of our events. And it is a great service. I think it's revolutionary. Like, it's nothing that I've ever seen in the past. And Martin, the founder, he has a finance background. So he saw that there's something broken in the app space. And because of his finance background, he brought it into the app space. Great platform. And the last thing I'll say is that they've got a LTV calculator so that you can put in some of these metrics that you should already know, like retention rate, conversion rate, all these things, and then they'll tell you exactly how much you can invest in your growth. Check it out. Go to paulin.vc, look for the LTV calculator. You'll find everything that you need there. Just go to paulin.vc. Sanjay, this has been absolutely amazing, but let's go to the big finish. What is one app that we definitely have to check out?
So, I mean, an app that we've built is probably the one I will speak to. So, I would speak to the NBC Sports app as the sort of the pinnacle of apps that we have experienced. And I'm not sure if there's anyone really out there who's done anything on the scale that NBC does. It is, you know, it's the app that streamed 3.5 billion minutes last Summer Olympics.
Yeah, nice.
And you know that app shows what is possible on mobile, and why mobile will take over. Yeah, I agree. Today, linear TV, people sit back and watch the Olympics on their television, but mobile will take that over as it grows, and it'll be all about the experience and all about what I want to watch, when I want to watch it. I'll speak to just one example. Team did a great job of finding a way to engage with users based on the types of things that they wanted to watch. So NBC has the must-see, and during the Olympics on mobile, you could set notifications on when your particular sport or your particular athlete was going to perform or be in a relay, for example, like Michael Phelps.
Yeah, yeah.
And the engagement levels that they were able to achieve were unbelievable because they created an experience that people wanted to use. And that was a huge success for our team and for the NBC team to put an app in market like that really showcased both a user experience and the technical chops to deliver something of that magnitude.
Didn't know you guys were behind that. I love that app. I used to use that app all the time when we didn't have cable. A couple of years ago, we watched the NBC football games. That's the app I would use on my iPad just to watch the football games.
I mean, coming up is the Super Bowl. This year's Super Bowl is on NBC, and you'll be able to watch it in the app. So it's a lot of hard work and a lot of team collaboration to get to this point. But you know, it is one of the feathers in our cap here at ClearBridge.
We should be very proud of that one. Sanjay, what's the one takeaway that you want the audience to leave with after this interview?
I think building mobile applications is a very sexy thing in the marketplace. And I think people should appreciate that the level of effort to create mobile applications and great user experiences takes a lot of time and expertise in many different areas. It's not just a bunch of developers that sit around and create these experiences. There's design folks, UI, UX folks. There's, you know, the people behind the scenes like QA that are validating the application does what it does. There are project managers and architects. So it takes a team, you know, sort of it takes a village to build a great mobile application. It's not just a couple of people working in sort of silos to build these applications. And so, you know, from the audience, I think building great mobile applications takes expertise in many different areas. And so from partners that do the marketing to partners that build the great mobile applications, it is a really good community to be part of, and a lots of opportunity going forward for all of us involved here.
You're telling me you don't just need a great CTO and that's it?
No.
Sanjay, if the audience wants to say thank you and follow up with you and learn all about your products and services, where do they go?
You can go to clearbridgemobile.com. You can check us out on LinkedIn as well. We also have a Twitter handle, CLR Mobile. And and me personally, if you want to reach out to me personally, my Twitter handle is smelhotra. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. I'm going to link that all into this year, your favorite podcast app. So you can just link, you can go to all the social media and the websites while you're listening to this. Sanjay, thank you so much for coming on and doing this.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you at the next chat.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.